Hey, thanks for listening. Please subscribe to our newsletter at theproductporch.com for notifications on the latest episodes and exclusive content.
Product managers, many of us are like, well, we're going to launch X by the end of the year. There's a hesitancy to move away from that because their merit is tied to the outputs and not the outcomes. There's a conflict because I got to put food on the table, dude.
Welcome to The Product Porch with Joe Galli, Ryan Cantwell, and me, Todd Lockyer. Outcomes over output sounds great, but what if you're drowning in outputs? Today, we discuss how to drive real change, no matter your title. Now settle in, folks, because on The Product Porch, every topic is a product topic.
Gentlemen, I can't tell you how happy I am to be on the porch today.
Todd, who is this guy?
I've been an absentee podcaster. For those wondering, I just took a little hiatus. We had a lot going on in the Galli household here with spring sports, which Todd loves. So if you ever want to know like how much Todd loves spring sports, just you know, put aside, just ask him. He'll tell you how much he just loves it. But gentlemen, I'm excited about this particular episode because a lot of organizations say this phrase, outcomes over outputs. We hear it over and over and over again. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I've heard many newer PMs come to me like, Joe, what does that mean? Like, how do we even start? How do you know you're even on the right path? When you hear that term, what comes to mind for you?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is I picture a tattoo that I believe you and Ryan have somewhere on your body. Or branding. I just feel like that's a brand that has to get seared on you somewhere. No, really. When I hear outcomes over outputs, it's the idea of, it's kind of a pushback against what a lot of people have seen in their product management career, where the focus has been on what is product delivering. And when it says what is product delivering, the answer is a thing. Yeah. You know, have we gotten this feature done? Have we completed this initiative? You know, how many stories? It's a thing that we've gotten done. And, you know, I've seen it. I consider it easy product management, but I've seen it in my careers where that's the end goal. You just hang your hat on golden feature done. Cha-ching. We completed the thing we set up to complete. The pushback is we need to have a goal that we're trying to achieve. It can't just be we build a thing. This thing needs to have some kind of result. So when I hear outcomes over outputs, it's, okay, yes, outputs can be important, but let's focus on what are those outputs supposed to achieve?
And that result usually is experienced by somebody in product. It's our customer, right? So we have the output, the work we do, the things we develop that should result in something, the outcome, which is the thing that they're looking to achieve. Are we showing progress
Yep.
towards that result they're looking for through our product?
Well, I'll throw in there too, but you have business related outcomes as well.
Aha, yes.
So you might also be doing something that moves the business forward. So that could be increasing your, you know, acquisition, improving retention, faster activation, whatever that is. But it's something that happened that's good for your business as well.
We talked about the differences. What's the benefit? Right? Why should organizations care? Why is this even becoming a big deal for organizations today? Like, what's all the pomp and circumstance around outcomes over outputs?
We talk about the benefit for the customer. If you're focused on the outcome, you're driving value for them. So let's say the difference is this. Customer comes to you and says, "I really want this thing." Now, if your goal is making stuff, you can take that request, put it through the pipeline, spit out a solution at the end, right? Maybe you do a little bit more than that. Maybe you actually prioritize it. You use WSJIF or you use Rice or you use Moscow, whatever. You have a little prioritization and you pick the best one of the stuffs, but then you put it through the pipe and at the end you have stuff. So if that's your goal and you're just taking those things and push them through the pipeline, what your customer is going to experience is they're going to see some stuff that they want. That's great. If you're focused on an outcome, you have to understand actually what that customer is trying to achieve. And if you can understand what that customer is trying to achieve, maybe you don't give them exactly what they want. You go that layer deeper and you give them something that they need. We had this recently where we had a CEO of a larger client come to us and tell us they were frustrated with a particular thing in our product. And he pointed to a label, said, this label is confusing. Now, I'll say this. It is. I should say it was. It's now past tense. We fixed it. But it was confusing. I agree. However, it's been used for a long time and a lot of training around it. So as we dug in, you know, the request came back. Hey, can the product team just fix this label? Well, sure we can. But what's the problem that this label is creating for him? What is it doing? Once we understood what the problem was, we actually identified a better solution that we could fix through the integration that we had that actually solves the root of the problem. We actually did both things. We made the change for the label, sent it out. So that's great, happy. But then we went back in and we did a different change in our integration that will solve the core to the problem that it was having. So that was trying to focus on the outcome. What is the outcome that we want for this customer? And that's what led to the better solution. That's one part. I think there's a lot more. We can keep going on benefits. I'm just stating one right now. One of the benefits is if you focus on the outcome and not the output, you'll actually come up with better solutions. And for your current customers, what that means is you can have greater retention for your company.
The other benefit is, I know this sounds a little drastic, but you're justifying your existence. You're convincing, like if you're a product manager and you're focused on outcomes, you're becoming a really great storyteller because you're telling the organization why they need to keep investing in your product and in your job.
Right.
It makes your life easier. It makes your chief financial officer life easier because you're showing an ROI. Are you telling them that you're a responsible steward of the organization?
Right.
So I want to ask, when somebody says outcomes over output, are we talking about a framework? Are we talking about a tool? Are we talking about a mindset? What is it? How are we going to label it?
We're talking about a principle, right? This is a principle. And mindset's probably closer of that group.
I was going to say mindset, but that's fair.
Right. It's not a framework. It's not a specific tool. I want to go back to something Joe said, though.
Yes.
I like, you know, what Joe said there is it helps justify your job. So for the individual, this is why it's important for you. Like, which of these two things is more compelling? You happen to be in the elevator with your CEO.
Yep.
He strikes up a conversation. You know, he's looking at you and thinking, I got to know everyone, I guess. So I better say something to this kid. And he says to you, tell me what you do here. Then your response is, oh, I help. I'm the product manager for mobile apps. Fine. That's fine. That's real. But what if the response instead is, I'm responsible for increasing the annual recurring revenue of our mobile apps as a product manager. I mean, the second answer is a little more compelling, right? And I think that's the thing is like, if you can actually draw a line from what you do to the outcomes you're making for the business, you're much more valuable. And here's the other thing I'll say about that. If you get good at that skill, we're just talking about benefits. I know we have a lot of questions about the how. You see Ryan's face. We have so many hows questions coming. But there's a benefit here. What that means for your career, if you're good at that, if you're good at drawing a line between here's the outcome we want to create for the business, here's how we can do so by creating outcomes for the customer, and then here's the stuff we'll build, the outputs that will get us there. If you're good at doing that, you can do that anywhere.
That's right.
You can do that for any industry. You could do that for any product line. Now, if you're just, I'm really good, man. I know mobile back and forth. I know the best mobile features. I could tell you what an enterprise needs for theirs and blah, 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 blah. I mean, great. You can work in one space. You can have one product line.
Yeah, Todd, that connection that you're referring to between outputs and outcomes, I think is the most important part. That's the one thing that I would tell people to focus on is trying to draw that connection. Don't just focus on outputs. Don't just focus on outcomes, but connect the two. And that's where you're going to be most successful. And that's that mindset, that principle that we're looking for is people who can successfully make the connection and clearly articulate it. Whether we're in the elevator with the CEO or in a stand-up with our dev team, it doesn't matter.
Here's a quick game. Yeah. You guys both love baseball. You've both been baseball coaches. Joe, I have an outcome for you. I want to increase my batting average. Give me some outputs to draw the connection between what I'm doing now and my outcome that I want. I want to increase my batting average.
Whoa, Ty, that is a... See, I would have argued against that as an outcome because batting average...
Oh, really?
Yeah, I would have said if I increase my batting average, then we increase the likelihood we're going to win games. Like I would argue that a batting average is really, you know,
a bad outcome.
The better you are as a hitter, yes, it's a self-fulfilling benefit, but the benefit is really to the team. You're helping the team. So really, by increasing my batting average, I'm helping the team be better. I'm increasing the likelihood of winning games. Like, that's the outcome you want to get to as a ball player. So you want to increase the likelihood of your team winning games.
I think we accidentally stepped into something important here, and that is not every outcome is equal, and not every outcome necessarily is the right outcome for in focus. And to your point, I think there are, in baseball, there are coaches' outcomes, there are team outcomes, and there are individual outcomes.
Totally. Yes.
In product management, it's the same. There are product outcomes, there are product line outcomes, there are business outcomes.
That's what was spinning in my head. I'm glad you called it out, Todd. As I was hearing Joe, Todd, you started with an individual player outcome. That batting average is an individual player outcome. Joe went to team outcome. What about the front office outcome of increasing revenue for the stadium and getting more butts in seats? So there is cascading outcomes everywhere, and it's our job to reveal them, find them. Which one do we index to and try to influence through our work as product people?
And this is why I say, and you've heard me say this before, that's why I say, like, I don't have a favorite prioritization matrix.
Yeah.
Well, all I care about is what you're prioritizing.
Right.
And to me, the first thing you should prioritize are the outcomes. Once you start writing them down, this is something I do for my company. I listen to all the signals that we have in all our leadership team meetings. I listen to signals throughout the quarter. I listen to things brought to our team. And I just write down outcomes. I'm doing it this week in advance of our next quarterly planning. I'm meeting with every member of the leadership team and showing them, here are the outcomes I have. Mm. Let's prioritize and decide which is the most important. Now, there's a whole thing about how you do that, but I don't want to get into the how you do that. My whole point there is you got to decide which outcome matters, outcome matters most.
Exactly.
So can I ask, Todd, you're prioritizing in the scenario you're talking about product outcomes, like what's the value to the end user, or are you prioritizing what's the value to the business, or like, can you just distinguish that
Great
for me?
Great question. And this is where, you know, role is important. So just like if I'm a single player, I might want to improve my batting average. Whereas if I'm the coach, I might have other outcomes that are more important to me for my
better team. Defense.
Or rather, I should say, should I say Zero manager? Errors. Should I say manager? It's baseball.
Okay.
Well, if I'm the manager.
You'll be okay with it.
But what I was going to say is it's the same in product, right? If you are a VP of product, you are needing to help guide your team. Your team is the leadership team on which business outcome we should be focusing on. Of all the outcomes, which one? And those cascade as well from annual, three-year outcomes, annual outcomes down to quarterly outcomes. But if you are, you know, if you're a director of product management or a group product manager, you're maybe looking at the suite or the portfolio and thinking of those outcomes. If you're a product manager over a single product, you're looking now at what's the product outcome here that I should achieve. But again, in service, it's kind of cascading outcomes in service of where is the business going? You know, so my business, the business is hyper-focused on retention. We're trying to reduce churn. We've been hyper-focused, you know, times are tough in the industry. We're seeing some market compression. We realize that retention is the most important thing. So let's reduce churn. Okay, great. So now as an individual product manager, I'm looking at my product and think, what outcome could I achieve that would enable reducing churn? But how much and what are the kind of outcomes could I achieve for a customer that would get them to stay? And then I could think about, now what do I build to achieve that outcome?
Ryan, before you jump in, I want to distinguish what is a product outcome versus a business outcome, because some people, when they hear product outcome, they think this is the capability I'm delivering to my end user. That's not a product outcome. Ryan, how would you describe the difference between a product outcome and a business outcome to our listeners?
All right. Two types of outcomes, business outcome, product outcome. The easiest way to distinguish between them is there's one thing each. Business outcome is all about the business. Product outcome is all about the customer. Meaning, it's what outcome does your product help the customer achieve? Their outcome, not your products, theirs. That's what's unique about it.
Todd, I loved how you did like a hierarchy based on the level you are, which outcomes you're responsible for. Side note, I think we should create a graphic because I think a lot of people would find that graphic really valuable.
I think that'd be useful, showing levels, showing examples, the kind of
outcomes. Yeah.
Because that's the thing that's important too is I say this to my team all the time. Everyone on my team is responsible for outcomes.
Yeah.
We don't hire anyone who's just responsible for outputs. We only hire people who are responsible for outcomes. What those outcomes are differ by that individual.
That's right.
We talked about the differences. We talked about the benefit. Now I want to ask you guys, how do I identify if I'm a PM who is focused on outputs or if I'm in an org that's focused on outputs?
How do we know that we're over-indexing on outputs? So I'm going to give you the flippant answer, Joe. If everybody gets excited on launch day when the feature is released and they say, we did it, high five, pop the cork on the Prosecco, we did it. You know you found an outcome organization.
You mean output?
I'm sorry, output. Yes. You know you're an output organization when everybody gets super excited when the feature is released.
I'm all about celebrating launches.
Oh, sure.
I think what your point is, it's kind of like when you hear someone say, college is the best time of your life. And all I could think is, if college is the best time of your life, you're doing it wrong. You're doing life wrong.
So
you should have better times after college. Your life should continue to have better times. So same thing. If launch is the peak celebration, it's all about the launch. You're doing
well.
It.
And I probably should say that when we're high-fiving, when we're looking at the dashboard saying we hit the day, everybody celebrate.
Yeah.
And there's nothing about what impact is that having after it was put into the world.
Yeah. How many organizations have you guys worked for or worked with, I should say, where you do like some sort of quarterly planning? I know those who practice safe use PI.
Yeah.
How many of you run in a scenario where every portfolio manager or product portfolio manager is given a review of the quarter and they're like, they list out the number of user stories or they list out the features?
Like,
it's so rampant, right? It's systemic.
I've said this story before on this podcast, but I did sit in one time on the ninth floor of this building where all the muckety mucks were in a big building. And I had to listen to the presidents of different divisions and one of them saying, but I know that this product was supposed to release 25 features, but we only got 17 features. And I'm just like, Who cares? I mean, what if they only released 5 features, but that 5 feature 10x your business? You'd be cool. What are you talking about?
Yeah. And I think if you're acting as a product person and you feel like a project manager, project with the J, not a product manager, that could be a signal that you might need to try to change the conversation and you're a little too output focused.
Think about what you're praised for, right? If what you're praised for in your job is you got it out on time, you did a lot of stuff, you did more stuff than we've ever done before, if that's where all your praise is coming from, you're output focused.
Right.
But you know, the challenges, and I know I experienced this earlier in my career, you know, you're doing your goals for the year. As product managers, many of us are like, well, we're going to launch X by the end of the year, or we're going to deliver this by the end of the year. Like, there's a hesitancy to move away from that because their merit is tied to the outputs and not the outcomes that those outputs deliver. There's a conflict because I got to put food on the table, dude. Like, yeah, this is where product transformations, I've seen this really, really just run into a roadblock where, yeah, we're going to talk about outcomes over outputs. Yeah, hooray, we're going to do this. It's got to like seep in throughout the organization. You know what I mean?
Yeah, with so many product management concepts, and this being one of them, cultural change needs to happen in order to do it well. You can't just say it and make it so. It doesn't work that way. So I also want to help people too by acknowledging something, that there's a spectrum of maturity at how this works. And this is, I'm interested in both of your reactions to kind of my maturity model here. The most immature is when outcomes are not part of any business outcomes, product outcomes, not part of the conversation. They're kind of very passively achieved, if at all. So that's the least mature. The next level up would be business outcomes only, where you have an organization who knows how to articulate, all right, we want market expansion, we want more revenue, we want profitability, reduce costs. So they're able to maybe express that a little better, but still product outcomes are missing. The next level up is we have product outcomes and business outcomes, but they're not quite fully connected well. There's some disconnect happening between product people, their product portfolios, and then you have maturity, which is where you have both plus connection and transparency across how those outcomes are achieved.
I like it. I think it's rare to reach that top level.
I agree.
I like it a lot in my career. Yeah, my career, I've rarely seen it, but I agree. There's a maturity. There's that maturity spectrum. The other thing I think to call out, because I'd hate for anyone to feel like, oh, they're calling me out, me and my team.
No.
We often have very little control of that environment around us, right?
Correct. And I guess this is why I'm bringing it up. You can't just walk into a room, leaders, and say outcomes over outputs and expect that to move the needle on your maturity. That's not how it happens.
So, okay, that's a great lead in, Ryan. So the product manager that's listening to this podcast says, I agree with the three of you. We need to be more outcomes over outputs. If you live in an output state, what do you do? Mm-hmm. How do you become more outcome focused?
Start by learning how to define outcome. What is an outcome? How do you define it? Define the outcome in the moment. I have a request. You know, to your point, senior management has given me a list of things they want me to build over the course of the year. Okay, figure out why. Define outcomes for these things that you're building. You can do that even at the smallest level. You know, we're releasing this new report. We're going to update the report. We're making these tweaks. Okay, well, why? Why are we doing that? And what are we hoping to achieve? Write it down.
Not only do it at work, flex that muscle everywhere. Uh-huh. Look at, oh, I'm walking through the grocery store. I chose this. What is the outcome of me buying this thing instead of this thing?
Oh, you'll never buy desserts again.
Well, unless your outcome,
I don't know. I'm buying happiness and I'm buying desserts. So I know
it's like happiness. I buy happiness.
Yeah, I'm buying happiness. Yeah, increase that outcome on happiness. So, but you can apply it in so many places. And I know you guys do it. You've told me.
Vacations. I do it with vacations. I do it with vacations all the time. Tell me what does success look like at the end of this vacation? Is it lots of pictures? Is it memories? I think I even mentioned this in a previous podcast. We visited New York last year because we're out east visiting some colleges. And I asked my daughters, you know, what does success look like? And I said it in a different, I didn't say it like that, but I kind of in a roundabout way.
Sure.
They're like, we want to see as much of New York as we can. All right. So like we saw, as you know, on the outside, we saw the Statue of Liberty. We saw the Met. You know, we saw the Freedom Towers, right? We didn't go inside many of these places because we had one day. So for them, that was success.
And you see, that's what you did though. Outcomes are a decision-making tool. If you do it right, it makes decisions clear. We do this at our company. So recently we were looking at, we wanted to move a customer outcome. We wanted to achieve this customer outcome. There are three different levers that could impact this customer outcome. What we did is we got data and we did some analysis on, hey, on each of these levers, if they were to have a 10% improvement, what would that mean?
That's a good idea.
And we were easily able to see, oh, 10% improvement on this one lever here is more meaningful than the other two. Mm. So now that we know that that's more meaningful, we have a clear outcome. The outcome is to improve this by 10%.
Yep.
Now we can find the problems. Now we can move that lever, knowing that that lever is going to get us to success. You guys want to play a game?
Let's play a game. I'm stoked.
Okay. I got a game set up for us here. So at the beginning, we're talking about the we're gonna play baseball. Okay. I'm the pitcher. I'm gonna pitcher. You're up, Joe. You're the batter. I'm gonna throw a scenario at you, and let's see if you get a hit. Okay.
I wish our listeners can see the smile on Todd's face as he's trying to like turn this into a baseball analogy. So just
trying. I nailed it. What are you talking about? Trying.
Nailed it.
Trying. Yeah. Success. The outcome achieved. All right, here we go. So I'm going to give you a scenario. I want you to tell me outcome or output. We'll start with Joe. And Ryan, you can give your response. And we'll just, I'll just keep hitting you guys with some. We'll see what you say.
Yes.
Let's start with the favorite one because this will get Ryan triggered. Sales says we're losing deals. We need a Salesforce integration ASAP.
Well, that is definitely an output because you're not telling me why we're losing deals. So I'd like to know why we're losing deals and why you think a Salesforce integration is going to be the way that we solve the problem that we're currently dealing with today with our sales team.
I love it. Ryan, would you add anything else?
If I was going to respond to that request, maybe that's what I can add to this, is I want to know, what is the customer achieving that our standard product doesn't achieve by this integration? Mm-hmm. That's helping me define outcomes better. And I think the business outcome is a little more obvious. We get more money if we can make the sale. So we're looking at it from two dimensions, right? Product outcome, business outcome.
That's great. That well done, guys. Let's give you another one.
Is that a triple or a double? Or our listeners?
I think that's a triple. I think
sweating on my belly. I'm like a Charlie Hustle triple. I love it. All right, let's go.
You got a man on third base here. Let's see here. Leadership asks, we need to launch the new onboarding flow by the end of Q3 to hit our roadmap goals.
Oh boy. This one is, my gut tells me output. And here's why. Because they're saying, do this thing. We need to release this thing. But they're kind of alluding to an outcome by saying onboarding is a problem. We need to change a behavior in the customer. And that's a result. How they should say, instead of prescribing a solution or an output, they should just stick with, we need to positively influence onboarding flow, or we need to achieve a 10x increase in onboarding by Q3 or something like that.
All right. That's a double.
All right.
Man on second, man on third.
I just got a question on what is it?
They threw the ball home. He was not going to. They knew where the ball goes.
I just want to know what a roadmap goal is. Like that's a new term, a roadmap goal.
A lot of times we call them roadmap goals, which is another way of saying, get the stuff done that's on our roadmap, right? Yeah, which is just output. Complete output. Right.
Which isn't, by the way, that's not a roadmap, that's a release plan. But that's
yes, sir. I love that you added that. I would agree with that. Customer success, they asked to reach out and say, hey, can we reduce the number of support tickets we get about billing? Joe.
I think that's an outcome.
What do you think, Ryan?
Because, hold on. I'm still batting.
Oh, yeah. Joe has more to say. Joe's still a bat.
I'm still batting, Todd.
He's battling.
I'm battling here. You didn't tell me what you wanted me to deliver. You explained to me a problem, which is we get too many tickets. So it's open for interpretation how we can solve that problem. It may be staffing. It may be a configuration. It may be training. It may be something wrong with the product. Like there's probably a myriad of different ways that you can solve that particular problem. And that doesn't necessarily have to be a investment. It may be something else. And I think from my perspective, that's an outcome, not an output.
All right. So I'm just going to get more specific and say, I hear a business outcome that needs discovery done to identify what product outcome is not being fulfilled. That's what I hear.
Fantastic answers. I think that's great. Fantastic.
Good job, Ryan.
Fantastic. And I mean, you guys crushed the ball on that one.
over the fence.
What? No, unfortunately, you just got a single though.
Todd's the official score. He's being stingy tonight. Very stingy.
You had a fielder with an arm like lightning. You hit it right over first base, and he got you. So you just barely made it. You had nowhere to go.
You got to throw from O'Neill Cruz. That's a shout out to Ryan.
Your bases are loaded here. So let's give you one more.
All right, I'm hitting cleanup.
You are brought in with the CEO to review the roadmap to your board. The CEO brings you in as a little pony, and you're feeling really good about it. You've gone through everything.
Yeah.
And then they throw a curveball at you by throwing out, hey, you know, you need to improve our App Store reviews. They're killing our reputation.
My product brain immediately tells me they're not asking me for a particular solution. They are actually asking me for a business outcome. Again, kind of like my last answer. They're looking for a business result by way of a user behavior change. So I need to do some discovery to find out what on earth is the product outcome that's not being satisfied that's resulting in bad user reviews.
No, I was thinking like NPS score, right? And like there's something that is creating an unfavorable experience for our customers that's leading them to writing a negative review. What is it about their experience with our organization or with our product that's leading to that negative experience? So what pain can I relieve?
And I think this is a good opportunity to highlight the connection between product outcomes and business outcomes, right? Because we need to first affect the product outcome before we can affect the business outcome.
So finish the sentence for me then.
This is an output if we go and just change the way reviews are scored to make it look better.
This is an outcome if.
This is an outcome if we frame it as we want a positive impact on the business. We want to increase review scores from 3.5 to 4.5 stars.
I think that's great. I'm going to call that a grand slam. You did it. You brought them all home.
Can I add a post-game commentary?
Yes.
We just low-key introduced leading indicators versus lagging indicators.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Customer reviews is a perfect example of a leading indicator, right? Too many people are like, oh, business outcomes, they take too long. Well, it'll take months, right? Years or before we'll see the value. But as a product manager, one of those outcomes you can focus on are what are those leading indicators that tell you they're signals that things are getting better. Those should become your goals. You probably can't say, I'm going to change revenue or increase profitability in 6 months. So you're setting yourself up to fail. But if your goals are around improving your net promoter score or your average customer reviews or reducing the number of reviews or even going back to Todd's previous example, I'm reducing the number of tickets that are being called in. That's the story. And I think this leads to our next point, which is that leads to your story back to your leadership on how do we know we're making a positive difference? You're becoming a good storyteller.
Correct. Because to your point there is you defined this implies, outcomes imply you have data. You can't achieve an outcome unless you have a before state and an after state. And something to measure that something has changed.
That's right.
Without any of that, it's not an outcome.
That's right. Yeah. And I kind of naturally did that when I started talking about star reviews, 3.5, 4.5. And I do have to admit to you, I immediately went to the dark side of product management when I said, we're going to change the rating scale to make it look better. Instead of saying, we're going to go develop 10 things to turn it around. Yeah. This is what the natural answer should have been.
So that's a big one. Like, I think something else you can do, we talked about how you can start by getting good at stating outcomes. Then the next thing you could do is find a way to measure the current state. You need to be able to sit down and say, okay, this is our current state. This is where we are now. And then draw a line in the sand somewhere saying, we want to be there. That's where we're going.
Yeah, I have a question for both of you guys. This might be interesting. If you could give product managers one bit of advice to get started with outcomes, just one, what would it be?
Okay, so shout out to Laura. I worked with her at Kimberly Clark and I helped coach her in this. And she said, she coined it perfectly. She said, you've got to understand the as is before you build the to be. Yep. So that is my advice back to product managers. If you want to become more outcome focused, being relentless in your understanding of the current state. How many tickets a day are you getting? How long does it take to resolve them? What's the average handle time, right? Like that we were, that's actually was the scenario we were dealing with at Kimberly-Clark because we were doing an implementation improved the way we did customer support. So she did a really good job of mapping that out. And there are different templates and techniques. You can do customer journey maps. Like there's 100 different ways you can do that, but you got to memorialize it so that you can get people, you can get people with you in your journey. So when people say, well, why did you pick that feature? Why did you pick that enhancement? You can walk them through, well, today, let me walk you through what the current customer experience is like. So before they've, before they think there's a bias that you may have, you're like, oh, that's the current customer. That's horrible. Like we've got to fix that.
All right. How about you, Todd?
You have to be good. You have to start asking why. And a lot of this ends up becoming asking yourself why. Part of product management is instinctual. Part of it is gut feel, especially the longer you're in the industry, you're reading a bunch of signals, you're reading about the marketplace, you're going to events, you're looking at things. You start to get some gut feel. You're talking to a lot of people. It's very easy to go on that gut feel. If I went on my gut feel, I could probably create 4 new products for my company, you know, just based on gut feel. Yeah. That doesn't mean they're right. Doesn't mean I would do it the right way. What you have to start doing then is asking yourself that question, that, wait, why do I think this is right? Why do I want to do this thing? I know as I'm saying that out loud, people are like, you're just trying to justify the solution you came up with. No, but what I'm saying is I've often learned I'm going the wrong direction by doing that. Mm-hmm. Once I state down the outcome and go, then you play the next game. But is that the best way to get there? Once you get really good at doing this with yourself, you can start doing it with other people.
Let's go. So I want to circle back to outputs because
Okay. Outputs
don't go away. There's still value in tracking outputs. You just have to be competent at tracking both. You have to be good at tracking both of them. Too many times you even see it on LinkedIn, outcomes. Outputs still have a purpose. Don't dismiss it. Project managers are still very valuable. They are the peer to the product manager. They're not subservient to the product manager. To be successful in large enterprise initiatives, you need strong project management. So I just, for our listeners, I want to make sure we're not being dismissive of outputs and projects. It's not that at all. You've got to have a strong partnership. They can coexist with each other.
I'd like to add what the value is for outputs. Ryan talked before about celebrating launches. Why should you celebrate outputs too? Why should you track them and why should you celebrate? Like I mentioned earlier, that lead to lag in product can be very long.
Yeah.
So we believe that if we build this feature, that feature is going to change customer behavior in some way. And over time, due to that customer behavior change, you'll create stickiness for a product and we'll see an increase in retention. Well, obviously, we got to see adoption now happen at a certain scale and then certain time pass with those adopted cohorts, then to see the improvement on the retention. That scale from the time you came up with the idea of that feature to seeing that retention improvement, that could be 2 years.
Yeah.
It could be a long time. So along the way, you got to measure those outputs and you got to still celebrate them.
Celebrate.
Or else you're going to have a sick, if you're just waiting until the outcome happens to be happy, you are going to have a miserable, miserable career.
Because sometimes I'm interested now your reaction to this. I'm going to try to be quick about this. The outcome, truly, the outcome can be unachievable. It is like you are driving down the highway. It is the car in front of you going at the same speed. And you might close the gap a little bit or you might get further away, but you never stop chasing that outcome.
All right. So key takeaways.
The thing I want people to walk away with is if they hear people in product communities within their own organization or around them saying the words, outcomes over outputs, to not be intimidated by it. Start with you. Literally, stop making your one-on-ones with your boss a project status update and start asking, what goal can I help you achieve? And anchor your work to that. And that's a simple thing you can control, and it'll help you make some of those decisions we were talking about so you can be more effective and create more value.
one of the first questions I ask product leaders is, tell me a little bit about your customers. And they struggle with that. And I'm like, well, before we get into the some of these other really fancy product management techniques, can you tell me what their goals are, their objectives, what their pain points? Now we can build off of that because you have a starting point. It's like every organization that has ever been really good at outcomes to outputs, they have a strong understanding of their customer segments, whether they be internal customer segments or external customer segments.
Well, my key takeaway from what you said is that, you know, outcomes over outputs, it's simple to make theoretical outcomes. What's challenging is to make outcomes that you can attach to your product and that you can measure and achieve. That's actually hard. Then I think that's why I've seen so many poorly written outcomes, especially in OKRs. I've seen lots of poorly written OKRs that aren't actual outcomes. And it's because it's really challenging. When I sat down to do this new at this company, and I sat down to start writing out some outcomes that we're trying to achieve and who we are, and I didn't have the before state in a lot of cases. I didn't have the data in place in a lot of cases. I had to draw lines in the sand that I didn't even know if were realistic at all, but I had to start somewhere and be like, we want to get there. I don't know if that's from here to California or here to the moon, but I have an idea that we want to go there. And so it can be really challenging. I would suggest that people just not get frustrated along their path of creating outcomes. Just take your time. Keep going.
Well, gentlemen, I'm so glad to be back on the porch.
Yeah, Joe, I'm glad to have you back. I know I gave you a hard time at the beginning, but it is good to see you, buddy.
I am too. I mean, you took up like half of Ryan's speaking time. Thank goodness. I just can't tell. It was so much Ryan talking. I mean,
Todd's sick of listening to me when he's editing.
Oh, goodness. All right, gentlemen, you take it easy.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you for joining us on The Product Porch. We release new episodes every 2 weeks. You can also find us on LinkedIn for more content. We offer a special thank you to AJ and Jack Blockier for the music. The views and opinions expressed by the hosts of this podcast are their own and do not represent nor necessarily reflect those of their employer.